I've had conversations with a couple landscapers and painters and flooring guys and stuff like that over the last few weeks. And I'm hearing things like, I'm only booked out a week and a half, 2 weeks. You know, and they might have three, you know, a crew of three guys or two crews of four guys or whatever it is. And they're only booked out a week or two.
Right.
What would you recommend to that guy?
Whew. That's a tough one. Unfortunately, I've not been in that, in that position for a while. I guess another part of marketing that I completely overlooked was networking. Networking, BNIs, all that kind of stuff too. Your local chamber of commerce, BBB.
Yeah.
Whatever you get to go out to an event with other professionals, go do it. What would I say to that guy? I would say you didn't market strong enough 6 months ago.
Okay.
But so, my advice to that guy would be...
Yeah.
Golly, man. You stumped me on that one.
Well, no. But I think you nailed it. You nailed it. And how long have you been consistently marketing and pulling the trigger? How long would you say?
I could truthfully say 5 to 6 years.
And as a result...
Right.
You rarely each year you have consistent lead flow and consistent work.
Right, right.
So marketing is a lifestyle.
Absolutely.
It's not like a one-time event. It's not like, and so, I don't think I stumped you because I think I think you just made the point for why as contractors we need to just be
consistent.
My brain
instantly goes, how can I get that guy a job in a week and a half?
Right,
and it's even other networking. Like if somebody comes to me with a $2,000-$3,000 yard cleanup right now.
Yeah,
I'm not touching it.
Right.
So I know that everybody in your same niche in your same town is supposed to be your enemy.
Yeah.
Don't make them your enemy.
No.
Don't make anybody your enemy. Network with those guys. We're all in the same boat.
Yep.
If I get overloaded, there's a guy that I send some work to, or like I said, the $2,000-$3,000 job. In December, January, I'm doing that $2,000 or $3,000 job.
Sure, absolutely, man.
Right now, I don't have time for it. And usually, those $2,000 or $3,000 jobs, they want them done yesterday. And this other guy is only out.
So if you're a younger contractor, a newer contractor, and would you recommend to a guy who's got his act together and he's quality minded, and he might be younger in the business or trying to turn things around, to reach out to guys like you and just say, hey, listen, if you get in a bind, you need somebody for overflow or whatever it is, let's have lunch and see if we're a good fit.
Absolutely.
Okay. So
all the time.
And we call those influencer relationships.
And I do the same thing. Last year we picked up snow removal for the first time ever.
Really?
Okay. Did snow
I don't know that was for the first time ever.
First year that we've ever done it.
How'd you do?
Shitty.
Okay.
But is and like this work is always based around Mother Nature, but I shouldn't say shitty. We bought $26,000 worth of equipment to do this.
And what'd you bring in sales?
Not that.
Yeah.
We didn't. The equipment it's paid for, but it's not paid for.
Sure.
But I did the same thing. There's a big wig here in town. Dude does $14 million a year. I'm not going to give him any advertising. You mentioned his name.
Yeah.
But but he's got more snow contracts than he knows what to do with.
Mm-hmm.
So I approached him. I said, hey, we're getting into the snow business. You got any extra that we can sub from you?
Yeah.
He kept two of our trucks busy and a lot of our shovelers on the ground busy.
And that enabled to keep some of your guys on through the winter and some stuff like that. But you also made a little money. So
made a little bit.
Well, almost broke even, right?
So. Sure. Luckily, plows last more than 1 year.
Yeah, no kidding. So, all right, let's. Last thing I wanted to talk about was sales.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much sales techniques and all that other BS,
right?
But mindset. So, what have you learned over 16 years about the mindset of being a good sales guy?
You're worth what you think you are.
Okay.
That's the number one thing that I've learned. I have never been. Everybody gets a bid, absolutely ever gets a bid, and I'm never afraid to be the highest bidder.
Because
I'd rather be Jake's Designs, he's expensive.
Yeah.
Rather than Jake's Designs, he came in lowest bid, and then did a crappy job, and now he's out of business because he didn't bid it right. Yeah.
So have you always been that way?
Yeah.
Since day one.
I really have.
Okay. So, what do you?
Which is weird because I like to dicker more than anybody else on the planet.
So what do you tell the guy who might understand that theoretically,
right,
but he's got to buy bread?
People will pay. You just got to present yourself right and sell yourself mm-hmm. right.
Yeah.
And people will pay what you charge.
My buddy and business partner, our Contractor Sales Academy, Steve Schinholzer, I don't remember the podcast episode that he was on with this, but I had him on, and Steve's always approached it that you have to sell, even if you're piss poor, you have to go approach the sales situation like you were talking about, like you're independently wealthy and you don't need the money.
Absolutely.
You know, that you're confident, and because people can smell that desperation.
They really can.
And my guess is you learned a little bit of this from your mom
for years,
right?
Absolutely.
Which is why you started off kind of not...
A little bit.
Freaking out with the sales thing. So,
right. Sales has always come natural to me, so I can talk to anybody.
Yeah.
And that's another thing, like I was saying, with your employees, get to know them, get to know their kids, get to know what they're about.
Yeah.
Do the same with your clients.
Yeah.
There's been many meetings that I've had that have gone on an hour and a half, and we've talked about landscaping for a half hour of that, and we've talked about life and kids and family and whatever else for the other hour.
Yeah.
So that makes a big deal too, is that contractors in general have a pretty crappy reputation.
Yeah.
No matter if you're a painting contractor, landscape contractor, pool contractor, whatever kind of contractor you are, framer, window guy, whatever. We just got poor reputation.
Why do you think that is?
Because there's too many guys that go out there and see, not to be egotistical, but a guy like me that's been in the game for 16 years and... Mm-hmm. I've got a lot of trucks on the road, and I've owned a lot of equipment, and now have a building and all that kind of stuff. And they see a guy like me and go, oh, man, that must be easy. Well, I somewhat take that as a compliment to say, thanks, I'm glad I made that look easy. Yeah. it's just, you gotta be friends with your clients, and at the end of the day, they will... figure out who they want to deal with.
Yeah.
Especially if they've had a bad experience before.
Yeah.
Because I've worked for a lot of people that have taken low bid before, and I've been back there 2 years later fixing low bid stuff.
So you mentioned earlier you have a couple designers, and I know they sell and design and all that other stuff. So how did you get to the point that you felt good about turning the sales reins over to somebody else? Like, what are some steps or advice
you can give? So your first step is have a bulletproof estimating system.
Okay.
And I will plug LM in because I love them. Landscape Management Network is the software that I've been showing you. They have unbelievable web-based software. Is it going to cost you money? Yes, it's going to cost you money. It cost me $200 a month.
Yeah.
It's well worth it. But they have a bulletproof estimating program. So... first thing you got to do is make sure that you're comfortable with your estimating ways and you have a spreadsheet of your production hours. One ton of rock takes this many man hours to put in.
Oh, you're freaking me out now, man. Because the guy listening to this is overwhelmed right now.
Right.
So,
and the only way that you develop that is you go out there and you time your guys. Okay, we just got 15 ton of rock dropped.
You
got to
hustle. You got to figure it out, right?
Exactly.
You got to put the work in.
You got to figure it out.
Yeah.
So, so you got to have a bulletproof estimating system, and then from there on out you just got to make sure that they're good, personable people that can get out in front of a client, all that kind of stuff, and of course look at their portfolio, make sure that they're kick-ass designers.
What is
that's how I felt comfortable to it, and I mean, I don't know how I lucked out to get the designers that I got, but
you got some pretty solid people.
Oh my god, they're awesome.
Okay, so timeout. Here's a Motorhood timeout moment. This is our first video interview.
Okay.
I don't know where to look.
So this is doing okay.
This is a squirrel moment. So for those of you watching this, I'm talking to, so I've never had any professional training with how to interview somebody on camera like the news people do, you know, or the Today Show.
As you can see, we're...
all I figured is, you know, get two stools behind my bar and add drinks and
boom,
hit record. We're good. So
that's just gonna happen.
So anyway, that's just my timeout squirrel moment because I think I've been pretty good with squirrel moments today. I haven't distracted a whole lot.
No, we're
but I'm over here freaking out because I'm my stress.
I kind of feel like I should be looking there sometimes.
I don't
know
where to look. So all right. So sales, it's all about you're gonna get what you believe you're worth.
Right? Pretty much.
Yeah.
And profile your client.
What's that mean?
One of my biggest things that I do, again, we love to do new houses,
mm-hmm.
is when we go into their house or we meet with them at their house.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how'd you like your build? Congratulations on your new house. Where are you from? Welcome to the neighborhood. That's great. How'd you like your builder? Or how do you like your new house?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the grout up there has a nick in it about the size of an ant, but I don't like that. And this floor has this, I mean, we've got 6,000 square foot house and there's a scratch right here out of 6,000 square feet. You get to know these people by just asking questions like that.
So right there, the flare gun goes off and you go, whatever my price is, times two.
Ding-dong factor.
Yeah.
We have named
ding-dong factor?
We have named it a ding-dong factor.
Okay.
Okay, this guy's a 30% ding-dong. Okay, this lady's a 50% ding-dong. So
I love it.
Literally, to expand on that, I was in these people's kitchen. And you know how, I don't know if you've ever moved into a new house, but
mm-hmm.
you go through and you get blue tape.
Oh, yeah, I'm a painting contractor, man. I understand that. So
they blue tape every little thing. I stopped counting pieces of blue tape at...
I have blue tape on my microphone here. So for those of you not looking, I'm pulling up a piece of blue tape. I put it on my bourbon glass.
I counted 75 pieces. I stopped counting at 75 pieces of blue tape in these people's kitchen alone.
Oh, my God.
50% ding-dongs.
Yeah.
Landed the job.
Yep.
Even after I inflated the bid that much and made the exact same amount of profit as I would have if
okay,
it were
normal. Okay, so, boom, time out. You said I inflated the bid,
yep.
and somebody who might not be a contractor, might be a consumer, whatever, yep. is watching or listening to this, and they're going, yep. that fucking asshole.
Yep.
Okay, sorry, Travis, now we got to mark this episode as explicit language. But that, typical asshole contractor mm-hmm. inflating their bids.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but what you did was you protected your company.
Exactly.
You protected your time, your sanity, your people.
You got to do it.
Okay, my old business partner... back in Chicago, used to tell me all the time, let's bid it right. You never get hurt on a job that you don't get.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yep.
And...
couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
That's just what you got to do. And you'll get to read people. And on the opposite note of that,
mm-hmm.
worked for a lady last year, freshly divorced, two kids in college, husband was... pretty much an ass. Well, of course, that's her side of the story. Did a small job for her. I think it was a $2,000 job. There's some drainage issues and whatnot.
Yep.
Busted through that. I gave her straight across bid. Busted through that job. Got that job done in half the time that I expected it to.
Mm-hmm.
Went and collect the final check. Ma'am, I'd love to take $300 off of your total tab.
Yeah.
Because, A, you're awesome to work with.
Yep.
You weren't up my ass this whole time.
Right.
And B, it went quicker than expected.
Uh-huh.
So you can, it goes both ways.
Yeah.
It goes, and you're going to run into some of the best people in the world.
Yeah.
And you're going to work for them and you're going to love them. And Orville and Yvonne Clear, I worked for them 2 years ago. We're doing another job for them right now. I'm picking up lunch. Next week, I'm going to go collect the final check. I'm picking up lunch. They're two just the most adorable older retired couple that you've ever met in your life. Never piss and moan about price. Never piss and moan about our work. They're got Gatorades, waters for, out for our guys every day. She's fed our guys probably three days out of the 4 days we've been there this go around. Just the type of people that you want to work for.
That's cool.
You pick them up lunch. You go do that final walkthrough with them. You have lunch with them. You talk more about their families, their lives, and all that kind of stuff. And just at the end of the day, why my stress level is so low is because I've just learned to slow down, going back to listening to people and just learn to slow down and enjoy your time.
So in, I had a sheet here somewhere. Okay, so Travis, you might have to fast forward this part.
Oh, you've got a nice little stack of checks back here, too.
Well, you know.
It's part of business.
Part of. All right. So.
I just made a massive deposit on the way over here.
So. There you go. All right. So let me see if I can pull this up. I had a thing that I was going to do that I forgot I was going to do. All right. Travis, feel free to fast forward this because I don't have my shit together. Here it is. All right, we're back on. Here we go. So I want to run you through the what I'm calling the gauntlet.
Okay.
Okay? One line, one or two sentence answers. Okay?
Iguana.
No, it's gangly.
Oh, it's not that
it's
gang?
Actually gangly wazoo strings.
Okay.
It's gangly wazoo strings.
Gotcha.
So, all right, so here we go. There's four or five questions.
Okay.
Rapid fire.
Here got it. Go.
5, 4, 3, 2. The gauntlet. Your biggest strength as a leader?
Communication.
Your biggest leadership fail?
Not staying in touch with, not communicating well.
Okay.
Just being.
Oh, you totally copped out on that one.
That was totally copped out, but it's true. I mean, if you don't communicate with your clients well, you're going to fail.
Your best one sentence. We're done.
All right, shit. All right,
here we go. You have no work on the calendar. What do you do to get some money coming in now?
Call the big boys in town, see if they've got any overflow work.
Okay. You must outsource one thing in your business starting tomorrow. What is it?
Outsource one thing in my business starting tomorrow that I do right now. I don't know. I've already outsourced everything. Outsourced all my marketing. Outsourced all my accounting. I outsourced. it would be pre-qualing people because it's a very time. It's not as time consuming as jumping in your truck and going over there and doing your tap dance and doing all that. But like Danny on Tuesday, I go, hey, because she's option one.
Yep. So, she gets all of them.
Yeah. She gets all of them. I said, how many leads we have? We had 16 leads. I'm following up with 16 people and this and that. I was like, all right, put those on my desk. I'll do it. So,
okay.
If we could, yeah, that'd probably be it.
All right.
And cleaning the bathroom in the office.
It was pretty nasty last time.
I would like to outsource that.
Somebody had like a total butt explosion.
There is Texas splatter bug all over that shit.
Texas splatter bug. Last time I was there, I looked under the seat to take a leak, and I was like, whoa.
Hello.
I'm like, hope I don't get blamed for that, because I'm the last guy in here. So, all right. Last question. Top money-making advice for other business owners.
Top money-making advice. Do what you're good at. If you're not the jack of all trades, don't try to be the jack of all trades.
Okay.
Do exactly what you're good at.
Okay.
That's why I don't mow lawns. That's why I don't spread pesticides.
Okay.
That's why I don't do that. And another reason I don't do that is because the teenager up the road is also doing that.
Right.
And you want to talk about, there are 300 landscapers here in town. Now, how many of those are design build and how many of those are maintenance? There's probably mixed together, but
you know, you're way over one sentence.
But that's fine. I'm spreading massive knowledge to these people.
I love it. So you're finding your niche.
Find your niche.
You're just going, I'm going to compete where it's not as bloody, right? It's like there's not so much warfare going on. I'm going to go over here.
And I would say there's probably 10 good solid companies in town that are doing the exact same thing I do.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we're all friends with one another.
That's cool. So I have one last question that I'm going to ask after I ask you this question.
Okay.
Okay.
So you've got two more questions, really.
Yeah, but I'm... where do I look right now? I don't know what to do. Yeah. Anyway. what... now I forgot.
I'm sorry.
I forget.
I'm sorry.
Gosh. What should I have asked you? That was my second to last question. Is there anything I should have asked you?
I feel like I need to plug you in here somewhere.
No, don't plug me, man. No, we're good.
Coaching, it is lonely. Here's another adage. It's lonely at the top. Mm-hmm. As the top guy in a business, you don't feel like you have a whole lot of people to bounce stuff off of. Certain things, you know,
yeah.
Design ideas, or you just bounce around the office, you know, stuff like that. You know, equipment stuff. I can talk to my construction manager. We can talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just other, I can't even think of an exact scenario right now of that type of decision, but it just really helps to get an outsider's perspective on your business.
Right.
And you know where you're weak probably. Mm-hmm. And you know what you're good at. And to be perfectly honest, I had lost a lot of confidence last year. It's because that stuff was going and it's totally restored and I'm off and running this year. So thank you for that. I definitely appreciate
cool.
that.
Well, thank you.
That's done meant the world to me. Where else is I going with that? Okay, that question's over.
We're good. So, well, I appreciate that. And all right, so last question.
Okay.
Imagine tomorrow you were taking the stage
uh-huh.
in front of 1,000 contractors.
Okay.
Of all different types.
Okay.
And you had 1 minute, or about a minute, because I don't have a stopwatch. Mm-hmm. You have about a minute to instill what's in here
mm-hmm.
into them.
Right.
What do you tell them on your marks? Get set, go.
First of all, believe in yourself and believe in what you do. Come up with those systems. That is not rocket science. You know what it takes to get the job done from client to final handshake. Invest the time into your business and come up with those systems and implement the systems. And some of them are going to suck.
Yep.
I've already had a couple that sucked and we've already changed them.
It's a cool thing though. You get to change it. So
that, yep. So just work on the structure. Again, work on your business and not in your business would be the first thing. And secondly, hire the right people.
Mm-hmm.
Hire people that you would want to hang out with,
yeah,
and people that are on your level. You can have many different music genres, different religion backgrounds, different. You can have a lot of things different, but as long as when you're at work,
yeah,
you guys are all fighting for the same common goal and the same common knowledge. Nice.
That's good.
Do that, and don't be afraid to put yourself out there. I've made a lot of mistakes, said a lot of stupid things. I put my foot in my mouth more than once.
Mm-hmm.
But put yourself out there. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have great successes. Celebrate both accordingly.
It's awesome advice, man.
So
I'm going to ask a bonus question.
Now we're up to three.
Sorry, guys.
No, we're good.
Because I think
I'd go on for hours.
If I was listening to this and watching this,
right,
I'd be pissed if this wasn't brought up.
Okay.
Okay. You have a good team.
I have a great team.
And this may extend this freaking interview another half an hour for all I know. I don't know where we're going.
Right. Very good. Very well good.
I'm out of cold beer, so it's just the bourbon at this point. But anyway.
It's fine. I still got to get home.
Yeah. So the... man, so many guys struggle with finding that right-hand guy.
Yep.
Finding that... And I'm not even talking about let's build a great team at this point.
Right.
I'm talking... finding the right-hand guy
right.
who can really have your back.
My Matt.
Your Matt.
Yeah.
What do you tell the guy who's tuning into this right now about finding that guy and keeping that guy.
So I'm going to put out an old adage of you got to kiss a lot of frogs to find your prince. A lot of frogs to find your prince. Once you find your prince, make him feel safe. Pay him what he's worth. Mm-hmm. Take that off the...
If not more.
I've found more often than not that if you can pay your people a good, livable salary, take that off the table.
So where money is not an issue.
You're going to get more... Yeah. Still incentivize them. Still put the bonuses out there and that kind of stuff. But if you can pay them, you know, even if they make no bonus that year, they're still going to have a fine year and they're not going to be searching for mortgage money and all that other stuff. If you can do that, you're going to have a very happy employee and a very motivated employee that's going to be autonomous. Okay. So that's one thing. I'm totally going to maybe tick some people off here, but I'm going to throw it out anyways. I was born in the Midwest. I know a lot of people from the Midwest.
I'm from Illinois.
If you're from the Midwest, this is so generalized. I'm embarrassed that I'm saying it, but...
Yeah. You shouldn't be embarrassed. There's good people. What you're going to say.
There's good, hardworking people, and they're just gall darn good people, you know? What are you going to say?
So I have a friend.
My construction manager, Matthew, born and raised on a ranch out in eastern Colorado.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just right up my alley. Dude starts off at hired that dude at $8 an hour 15 years ago.
Now he basically runs the day-to-day.
So
you bring up the Midwest thing, and that's, you know, I know you're kind of, what's funny is when I was choosing, when my wife and I were going to move out here, we have friends that are up the street that have lived here 15, 16 years. Mm-hmm. He goes, dude, if you start a contracting business here, you're going to kill it.
Yeah.
And I said, why do you say that? And he's from Colorado. And I said, why do you say that? He says, because you understand a work ethic that a lot of people don't.
Yep.
And so, it's certainly not that you can't get a good work ethic from somebody in Portland.
Right.
If they're not high.
Yep.
Well, shit, I'm in Colorado, so never mind. But
it's every other dude out here.
But I think, man, what I love is that you took a guy from $8 an hour and you basically grew your own guy.
Right.
You grew your own leader.
Right.
And to me, there's no better leader that comes into your business than the guy that, you know, you can grow. And it just
keeps going that way, too, because Matt, he asked me, what was it, 2 or 3 months ago? What's my next step?
Yeah.
And this year...
Puts pressure on you now.
This year, I went over there. I went over budgeting with him. Mm-hmm. I'm teaching him that portion of it. I'm basically teaching him how to run this business.
Yeah.
A, because I trust him and I know that he's not going to go start his own business.
Right.
And B, because I want more free time.
Yeah.
And I basically told him, your next step in the next 5 to 10 years is me doubling your salary.
It's gonna be me.
Yeah. Me doubling your salary and me checking in with you once a month.
Yeah.
So that's
a beautiful thing. I mean,
and then another point I have on finding the right people, and I'm as guilty as anybody. You're in the middle of the summer, some guy quits or some guy takes off or whatever, and you just, gotta fill a spot. Guys come in, they make a complete sentence and catch a shirt on the way out the door. They're freaking hired, more or less, you know.
A picture of a guy trying to catch a shirt, you know.
That's pretty much it. So this year, we had 6 open positions, most of them being laborers. We took 2.5 months to fill those positions.
Did it slow, man. Yeah.
So hire slowly, and on the opposite hand, fire quickly. If a guy is within the first week... I had one guy that had more flat tires than I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Not seen, ever heard of in my life.
Yeah.
So I take that guy.
Yeah.
It was a flat tire every week for about 3 or 4 weeks.
You know, on that note, I remember reading an article when I was a brand new contractor a long time ago. An older guy had been in the business 20, 30 years, whatever it was. He said... The first moment that you think you should fire somebody, you should fire that person.
Absolutely.
And in his experience, and in my experience as well, every time that I've thought to myself, I need to can this guy, yep. I've ended up firing the guy.
Absolutely.
And so,
yep.
And you know,
and just because you're still desperate yeah. 2 months later because you haven't found his replacement and he's come groveling back to you,
mm-hmm.
he's still the same dude.
He's still the same dude. That's right. and on the other side, what you brought up was hire slowly is mm-hmm.
Do your due diligence.
You know, with Simplify Painting here in Colorado Springs, I took 8 months.
Yeah.
7-8 months to hire Kelsey to run the business for me.
Right.
And here's a burp. I'm not going to censor my burp. There we go.
We're just going to announce them.
But she's the type of human being that I could literally leave right now
right.
for a year, come back, and the business will be better off.
Right.
And I really believe, number one, it's her. Right. Okay. But the only thing I did that was brilliant in the process is I took my time. To find the right person, and I was really picky. So, anyway.
Hire slowly. Yeah. Do your due diligence.
Yeah.
Do the background checks. Take the time to call the references.
Mm-hmm.
If they put down a reference of their mom or their girlfriend, they're out the door already. It's just use your common sense about it. I know as well as anybody out there listening, you get desperate. If we've got jobs, we've got to get them done.
I need bodies, I need man hours, I need to got to dig a hole, right?
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. But at the end of the day, do yourself a favor and don't hire a headache.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, dude, it's been awesome.
Absolutely.
This is, I'm looking at the clock right now.
We're both looking at the camera now.
Yeah.
We figured out where to look now.
We are about an hour and 17 minutes into this, which is the longest ever interview I've ever done.
Wow.
I mean, I feel it's like, the longest I've ever taken, I feel like we could go beers. Until this and the warm beer in my garage is gone. But I appreciate you all hanging out with us.
Yep.
Hey, if you're in Colorado Springs and you're a kick-ass dude who's looking to work for a kick-ass guy, call Jake. Go to Jake's Designs. How can we reach you?
You can go to www.jakesdesigns.com. Jake's plural, designs plural. You can email me, jake@jakesdesigns.com. You can call me, 719-271-2584. I would be extension 4. if you're a contractor in town listening to this and you're in trouble, I, 11 years ago, 12 years ago, hurt my back, went and got some physical therapy for it. Dude wanted to start out a landscape business. He's one of my main competitors now.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to share my knowledge.
No.
I figure the more I share my knowledge with you, probably you're gonna bid the job the same as I am, and then it's just a matter of who client's gonna do thinks gonna do the best.
That's good stuff, man.
Yep.
So hit up Jake, and if you have any questions for Jake about things he's doing, things he said here today, please hit him up for that. And then I also want to encourage you guys that are watching this on YouTube or wherever the heck you're watching it, head over to motorhard.com and subscribe to my daily high intensity tips, where it's right on the homepage. You click a button, put your email in, and every morning at about 5 a.m. or so, an email goes out to everyone that's subscribed all over the world with quick little tips that you can consume in less than a minute or two about growing a stronger business. Okay, I know you're pressed for time, I know you're wearing a lot of hats. And so we're just trying to keep it real quick for you, give you some things that you can think on through the day to help you grow a stronger contracting business. And Travis, freaking blow my mind right now. Like, I know we have a killer theme song and everything, but like, I really want to hear something that I've never heard before come in right now. 3, 2, 1.